T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Palmer brings him up to the line with 2:08 to go from the 11-yard line. Middle, intercepted by Morgan at the goal line. The defensive player of the year brings it all the way back out to the 26-yard line.
All right, let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms on Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Former UM linebacker, you just heard the highlight, and now director of player personnel for the Bills. Look at
the
that
Buffalo
title.
Bills. Yeah,
the Buffalo Bills.
The big team.
Look
yeah.
at that title right there. Dan Morgan joins us. Yeah, he's laughing in the background. And he was on the QAM. You know, he was on the QAM Hurricanes team a couple years back.
Well, he's doing a lot better than that now.
A little bit better now.
Seattle,
upgraded
Buffalo,
a little bit.
Yeah, he's done. Dan, thanks for coming on this morning, brother. How you doing?
Doing great. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Man, this is it's great. And we appreciate the Bills giving you the green light to come on and talk about it, man. You kind of finished up that game, that Sugar Bowl, and boy, years later, we realize, my God, that team, nobody in the country, nobody could have beat that team. I know there's some other teams saying they deserve to win it, but Dan, if somebody played an extra game, I don't think anybody in the country beats that team.
Yeah, we were on a roll. You know, we had a ton of good players. You know, we pretty much got screwed. I mean, that's when the BCS, you know, was still trying to figure out, you know, what they were doing and what was going on. And, you know, water under the bridge now, but I think we definitely would have, you know, would have won that and beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you beat Florida State that year, and then they put Florida State in that game. How does that even happen?
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is.
And we got to let it go, though. You got to let it go.
No, nobody lets that stuff go.
No
one lets that stuff go.
That's still pretty hard to let go.
Right, exactly.
But,
Dan, Florida, Miami, it's back. The rivalry's back. They just signed a contract to play in 24 and 25, a home and home in actual Hard Rock Stadium and up in Gainesville. It's a fun rivalry. It's a crazy rivalry. It doesn't happen a lot. You played, and obviously, from the highlight, one of the bigger games in this rivalry. But this needs to be played every year. I hope it sometime maybe will ever get done. But you played in this game. You've seen the rivalry up close and personal. How great is this rivalry?
It's exciting. You know, it's just, you know, within the state, you know, combined with Florida State, I mean, it's, you know, big-time rivalries. And, you know, a lot of the guys, they know each other, you know, so it even makes it more competitive. And, you know, it's one of those games that, you know, it's exciting and the crowd's into it and it makes it more fun for the players. So it's going to be fun. I'm actually going to be there this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's funny how you got that worked out on your schedule to go check out that. That's amazing how you did that, Dan. You are too much.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, you know,
go ahead.
No, you know, I make my own schedule, so that's good. So it's easy to throw a Miami game or two in there.
Well,
hey, Dan, there's so many different parts of this, and while we're talking about the Florida game, I was thinking about that Florida State game. You played in that hot, nasty game where people were passing out. Not that you're playing Florida State. What was that thing like to play in that one?
Oh, that was a beast. I think it was 96 degrees that day, but it was sticky. It was humid. You know, I was dying. At the end of the half, I intercepted that ball. And, I literally didn't have anything left in the tank. I was in the locker room. I was cramping. The training staff did a great job of getting me, you know, some IVs and getting me back out there. But it was definitely a battle. And, you know, it was a tiring game. But, you know, I'm glad we won.
All right. Got to ask you about that guy that joined you up there. How cool is it to see Frank Gore? And Dan, you've watched him through the years. You surprised this guy is still playing at the level he's playing at, and now you've got a chance to see it up close in Buffalo.
I'm not surprised. Just knowing Frank and the work ethic, and you know, you talk about, you know, we can talk about guys loving football. but this guy really loves football. I mean, he lives it. He breathes it. He's the first one in every day. You know, he's been everything and more than, you know, what we thought he was. You know, he brings the young guys along. He's just great for that running back room all around. He's great for our team. So, you know, we're excited to have him.
Dan, you got a great story, if you don't mind me telling this to Canes fans, and I tell it all the time behind your back, about about you always wanting to go to UM. That was always, and you're getting recruited by everybody and not UM. I mean, they were talking to you, but Dan offered a scholarship. You made it pretty clear early on, like, look, man, no matter what, where I'm getting recruited, I want to go to UM. You were one of those guys that it was easy for you. That was the school you always wanted to go to, and then finally getting that offer. That doesn't happen to a lot of guys, no matter what. When did you decide, at what age were you, where you were all in on UM?
I'll tell you what, you know, we used to vacation, my parents and my sister. We used to go down and vacation in Florida every year. You know, we lived up in Philadelphia. That's where I was born and raised. And, you know, my dad and mom, they bought me a Hurricane jersey one time. And, you know, from then on, I was hooked. I was the only kid in the neighborhood. I had a Steve Walsh jersey and I had a Bernard Clark jersey. And I was literally the only kid in the neighborhood. Everybody else is Notre Dame and Penn State people. And, you know, I would get in fights, you know, in the neighborhood over it. You know, I was pretty passionate about the Miami Hurricanes, and you know, and I still am.
Wow. Getting into fights.
That's what, and he went that powerhouse Taravella. Right. He went to that school. And just...
Yeah, Taravella High School, moved down there. But, you know, it doesn't get better in Miami. Just the fraternity of players that we have. You know, everybody, you know, still talks to each other. And, you know, I'm sure I'll see a lot of guys on the sideline that I haven't seen in a while. And, you know, it'll be like yesterday that I saw them. So it's a great place. It's a special place, that's for sure.
Dan, I got to ask you another one too, because you were, I think you were going to UM when, were they just fresh off probation or still in probation when you decided to go? And you guys got your butts kicked right when you got there pretty good before you got that thing turned around.
Yeah, we were still on probation. I think our recruiting class, we had, 12 players in the class, but Butch did a really good job recruiting the guys. I mean, in my class, it was Reggie Wayne, Santana Moss, Ed Reed, and myself.
Stop.
So,
just stop right there. Stop.
Hang up the phone. Hang up the phone. Wow.
That's how you get it turned around when you don't need 25 scholarships. Jeez.
Yeah. So I'd say out of the, you know, out of the 12 guys, I mean, Butch, he was a great recruiter, and he did a great job of building that program back up.
Yeah, 30 guys in a class now, 28 guys in a class now. Just give me 12 like that every year. Jeez. I think you could turn any program around. And, Dan, you know, you look at all the players that played at UM, obviously lots and lots of good players. First sophomore to be named Canes captain, that's a pretty high honor. First player to sweep all three major defensive awards, you did that one year. Like, your time at UM was as good as anyone else's there. But what was it like for you on campus when you did start off like that in a kind of troubled, under the dark cloud, and then how you ended up in 2001 with that team?
You know, it was rough. You know, my freshman year, we weren't very good. We went 5-6. You know, but we were on a mission. I mean, our class and the class before, with Edgerrin James and Bubba Franks and Damian Lewis and those guys. Jeez. I mean, we were on a mission. We all got together and we're like, we're not gonna be denied. Nobody's gonna outwork us. And we worked our butt off. You know, with Andrew Swayze and Tom Moffitt, the strength coaches. I mean, we put some work in the summer. So it wasn't just talent. It was the group of guys that got together, and you know, we had a common goal. And, you know, we pushed towards that goal and we worked our butts off. So, and I think you saw the end result.
You know, what's amazing too, Dan, is there for a while, and the NFL is having trouble with it. And you probably remember this when all the guys go, I'm not going back and work out in my NFL city in the off season. I'm going to stay and work out in Coral Gables. We all work out together. And then some of those, like those guys going one-on-one against each other, covering each other, Pro Bowler against Pro Bowler, was like a who's who down there that would meet in the off season. It was just incredible. I guess the NFL had to adjust a little bit. It looks like it's tied out, but at one point, that was pretty amazing. Do you ever get caught up in doing any of those?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the one-on-ones. You know, my senior year, you know, usually you can pick one guy out that you can cover and, you know, maybe you're a little tired or, you know, you just want to kind of go easy that day. But, you know, there was no guy that you really wanted to – that you could go up against that wasn't that good. I mean, you talk about Clinton Portis and Edgerrin James, Willis McGahee. He was our scout team running back. So, wow. You know, jeez, it was rough, you know, covering one-on-one. So when you did get to the NFL – you know, it was actually a little easier, you know, just to cover some of those guys. Yeah. It was amazing. But, you know, back to your question, though, yeah, you know, definitely in the offseason we got together and, you know, pushed each other. And, you know, I think it's still going on now.
Dan, would you have been happy in that Sugar Bowl if when you were coming off the field with the ball, someone threw a turnover chain on your neck?
I don't know if that was us back then. I mean, we were pretty hardened. We weren't fancy. You know, but I do like the turnover chain. I think it's pretty cool. And you know, I think somebody definitely would have had to put it around my neck. I was pretty tired at the end of the game right there too. I mean, it was you know, it's the turnover chain thing's pretty cool though. I like it a lot.
All right, so I just got to tell you now that I've known you forever, like through high school, then the college, then the pros to see you before the games. And now sitting next to you when we're doing the games in Buffalo, and there you are with the GM, assistant GM, owner, and you sit next to me with that window. I got to tell you, man, it's the strangest and weirdest thing because my guys are going like, how long you known Morgan? I go, I've known him for like a long time, man. It is really weird. What is it like? Dan, you ever sit up there and going, my God, I was just playing on the field not too long ago, and there you are now involved in personnel decisions. What a move, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And, you know, it's, you know, likewise, looking over at you, it's, you know, great seeing you guys and just kind of weird sitting there and being on the opposite end of you guys. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I've you know, worked my way up. I've worked my butt off to, you know, get where I am now. You know, and definitely it's one of those things that, you know, sitting there with Brandon Bean and Joe Shane and, you know, the owner of the Bills, it's a cool thing. And, you know, you learn a ton and, you know, just gain an experience. But it's a hell of a job, and I, you know, really enjoy doing it.
By the way, did you tell the family you're going to be on today? Did you tell them?
You know what? I did tell my dad I was.
Oh, good, because I gave a couple of shouts out. I wanted to make sure he was still around here.
Dan, Joe said hi to your dad six times this morning. Just yeah. I'm sure he's heard it. I can only imagine. Yeah.
By the way, if Dan,
yeah, I'm sure he's listening right now.
Don't worry, if Junior has a problem, Senior can kick ass on. Just is he still in pretty good shape? Dan, it's been great having you, man. Really appreciate you in the organization letting you come on today. I know during camp and all the craziness going on and trying to put together a team. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon, Bills and Dolphins.
Anytime, man. I'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot. Dan Morgan, former UM linebacker, director of player personnel for the Bills.
It's a great story. Dan's story is great.
Great family. Just unbelievable family. Oh, I've known
Taravella High School.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I go, how about that powerhouse, Taravella High School?
I know.
He was
it's
running
so
for like 1,200 yards, and he played, you know, and I was like, man, somebody said he might be a running back. I go, no, I think he wants to kick ass at linebacker.
I think it was a good switch for him.
They've had a lot linebacker of guys do that have done both. Beeson.
Wasn't DJ guys, Williams, too?
DJ like Williams yeah. Started fullback, caught a touchdown at fullback in a championship game, and then moved to linebacker and was a first-round pick.
Wasn't Warren Sapp a tight end?
Start, yeah.
And then Eric Winston, tight end. He was
yeah,
tight end. I mean, think about
tackle,
that. Yeah.
Slid in one position.
Right.
That's what UM's been able to do. It's been pretty cool. Anyway, too, thanks to him. We got more stuff to get to. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk's going to join us. Then we got to check in on the text machine. That was special for me. I really appreciate those guys getting Dan on for us.
All right, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline once again. It's Friday, 9 o'clock hour. It's a football Friday. We're going to go right to ProFootballTalk.com and talk to Mike Florio. Mike, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. How are you guys today?
Well, we're doing good. We got ourselves a little Josh and Ryan. Ryan and Josh trying to figure out after last night. Both guys were running for their life with the offensive line, but were able to make some plays. And Josh Rosen actually really made some good plays. Mike, what do you do down here? What do you think ends up happening? And who plays in that opening game? Did Josh Rosen do enough last night?
Yeah, look, I don't know. And they keep going back and forth on this. And I think back and forth is going to be what happens when the regular season begins. One guy starts, guy gets yanked, almost like what happened last year in Tampa Bay with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. Now, Winston was suspended to start the season, but Fitzpatrick eventually gets benched, and then Winston gets benched, and then Fitzpatrick gets benched. And, you know, unless somebody really catches fire. And I think that if Josh Rosen was really the guy long-term, even though he hasn't been there for long, he's been there long enough that it would already declare itself. And I just think this whole thing is now on path to a new quarterback being drafted or otherwise acquired for the Dolphins in 2020. I just think this is get through the season, hope for the best. And I don't think either guy is going to be the starter next year.
Yeah, probably picking a quarterback in the early part of next year's draft, and that's going to be the guy probably not on this roster now. What did you think about Brian Flores last night kind of addressing the whole Kenny Stills, Jay-Z stuff? Played the music the other day. It's just been a whole kind of story. He didn't think it would be a national story, and that kind of just blew up in his face a little bit.
Well, why would that be a national story when the day after one of your more vocal players says some things critical of Jay-Z for his deal with the NFL, a deal that glossed over Colin Kaepernick's ongoing unemployment, and then you go 8 straight Jay-Z songs in practice the next day without telling anyone ahead of time why you're doing what you're doing. You told Kenny Stills ahead of time why you did it, but the media is just looking at this as a slap in the face at Kenny Stills. Now, I know that either the Dolphins leaked or someone had speculated that this was an effort by Brian Flores to challenge Kenny Stills to see how he would deal with that kind of adversity. It just, the whole thing seems odd to me. And I feel like in a clumsy sort of way, Brian Flores is another Bill Belichick disciple who is doing things based upon not an overt desire to do what Belichick does, but after years of being with Belichick, the way he handles situations creeps in. And I think this is kind of a loose approximation of what Belichick would do if he found himself in a spot like this.
You know, Mike, it's really interesting to see everybody, especially with what happened up in Canada, how everybody handles this third preseason game. It used to be, unless I'm mistaken, you can help me out. All right, everybody plays a half at least, maybe into the third quarter. And now people are more worried and thinking more about injury and making sure even if you're a little rusty, at least you're healthy for that opener in September. Do you think it's going more that way in the future, especially after Cam Newton gets rolled up on last night?
Yeah, I mean, it's the damnedest thing. These coaches complain about not having enough time to get their guys ready for week one, and they cancel OTAs with a couple sessions left, and they don't play starters in the preseason. These are prime opportunities to get guys ready, but the problem is you're taking a risk that they're going to get injured in a game that doesn't count. And with Cam Newton getting hurt last night, especially if it's a serious injury, and at this point we don't know, but if it's something significant, then I think that is a warning to all coaches not to do this and to keep your guys in bubble wrap. And at some point we just have to say, hey, NFL, we're fully aware that you don't want to trim the preseason in half until you can grow the regular season and offset the lost revenue. But it doesn't matter. You just got to get rid of these 4 preseason games and shrink it down to 2. You know, I after 2 weeks of the preseason, I don't care anymore. And I feel like a lot of people don't care. And between the embarrassment in Winnipeg last night and Cam Newton getting injured, maybe we're at a critical mass. Maybe this is the thing. Now that they're bargaining right now with the NFL Players Association for a new CBA, maybe this is the thing that gets the owners to say, you know what, we've got to get the regular season expanded so we can cut the preseason in half because this is really making us look bad.
All right, we've seen now 2 instances. Was it last season with Mexico City with the stadium there? Now last night with Winnipeg on an 80-yard field. This is embarrassing. How come no one in Goodell's office saw this coming from a mile away? No one checked out the field? No one thought anything was bad with that field? I just don't understand it.
Well, and think about it. This is the third time now since 2016. We had the Hall of Fame game cancellation because they couldn't get the paint dry, so they used some sort of industrial dryer that melted the paint and turned the field into concrete. And then they have the field in Mexico City that's unsuitable, and somebody was asleep at the switch there. And the idea that, hey, you know, moving the goalposts literally from the goal line to the back of the end zone because the goalposts for the CFL configuration are up at the goal line, 25-yard end zone, that's going to leave something behind that needs to be dealt with. And that was the problem here. So 80-yard field, embarrassing. I couldn't even watch that game because I knew the numbers were not the real numbers. Right. I didn't want to have to do the math. Jeez. I didn't want to have to think it through. And it didn't feel like a real game. And it really is a major embarrassment to the league. The league doesn't hold people accountable for these big mistakes, you know. And I guess you could say, hey, for as cold and as heartless as NFL teams are, the league office is very forgiving about things like this. But, you know, this is the kind of thing where someone's head needs to roll. And typically the way the NFL does it is they don't fire anybody. What they do is, you know, whoever was responsible for a big screw-up quietly leaves a few months later, like after the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. But that's not happened for any of these field-related debacles. And somebody needs to be responsible for what happened last night, because if I'm the commissioner, I am pissed off that this was allowed to happen on my watch.
Hey, Mike, I find myself rooting really hard for Daniel Jones, who had another good game yesterday, by the way, for the Giants. The Baker Mayfield stuff and kind of following it up with, you know, they didn't get the story right. That's not what I said. What was your take on the whole thing? A big deal or not really?
I don't think it was really a big deal. And the thing that bothers me is GQ does this every year. Last year it was Jalen Ramsey. This year it's Baker Mayfield. I'm sure it's been guys in the past, and I just can't remember. But the last two are the ones that stand out, where they dangle a photo shoot with GQ, the possibility of a cover. And, you know, the guy says, fine, hey, I got to sit down for an interview before we do the photo shoot. I'll do it. And because it's not a sports reporter, there isn't that same guard up that you would have if you're sitting down with Peter King. You know what I'm saying? And also, I think that the Clay Skipper, who did the profile of Jalen Ramsey and the profile of Baker Mayfield, I think there's a willingness to play that gotcha game where, hey, you said it. You didn't say it off the record. Sorry, I'm going to use whatever you say. You know, some reporters who have to worry about longer-term relationships and want to interview Baker Mayfield again and want to have a good relationship with the Browns so they can get access, you can't play that game and burn a guy, even if it's his own fault for not saying off the record. And I think that's exactly what happened here, that Baker Mayfield got burned because he just assumed that what he said wasn't going to be used, or if it was used, it was going to be properly conveyed, not selectively quoted. And look, beware GQ. So they're going to get somebody next year, too. There's going to be some star player this year, or Saquon Barkley, or somebody, some young guy who's on the right side of 25, or as the case may be, the wrong side of 25, because those guys can be inexperienced and naive, and they're going to step right into it. They're going to do some interview in May when things are slow, and then it, all of a sudden it drops in August, and all these controversial things that you didn't realize were going to be thrown back at you get thrown back at you, because that's going to sell the article and sell the magazine.
Yeah, but Mike, this is great. Like, this whole thing with Mayfield and the Browns, I think it's great for football. I really do. Young, cocky group. We're not afraid of anybody. We'll say whatever we want. That kind of image. You don't think a little of that's good for the NFL?
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, it's unfortunate, because I think in this case Mayfield wasn't trying to do it. But you know, for some of these young guys, it's almost like, you know, when I was a kid and I was really into wrestling, I didn't want to think that it wasn't real, even though I, you know, it's like, I know it's not real, but I like it. And I feel like, whether it's a college football WWE mentality that creeps into this for pro football, that's what makes it good for football, because it does develop that sense of rivalry. And, you know, you don't like the players on the other team. You don't like the other teams. You don't, you know, there's a deeper seated dislike and distrust of your opponent, of your opposing teams. And, you know, I wish the Browns and the Giants played this year. So, you know, they play in 2020, but that can't get here soon enough, because that mentality, it makes the NFL feel a little less corporate and a little less, I don't know, homogenized and sanitized. And I think we like that sense of rancor and drama that we see in college football and that we see in pro wrestling.
I guess I have to break the ice because we haven't brought him up yet, I don't think. Antonio Brown, what's up with the helmet?
Well, today's the day of the hearing where Helmet Grievance 2.0 comes to a head. I think his argument this time around is a hell of a lot stronger than the argument from the last time. And I think that in large part because the argument the last time around was so poor, the idea that, hey, my helmet's more than 10 years old, it can't be recertified, but go ahead and recertify it anyway. The helmet argument this time is very simple. If the NFL is going to, on the fly, ban the shut air advantage, any version of it, even the ones that are less than 10 years old, and not let Antonio Brown wear it, and it's something the NFL didn't do in the normal course of deciding which helmets should and shouldn't be used by players, he should get that same one-year grace period in his preferred helmet model that Tom Brady and others got last year. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to win, but it's a much better argument than the one that was made 2 weeks ago in that first grievance.
So you're kind of saying the NFL once again didn't make all their rules and regulations real clear and kind of go along and kind of change it as they want, and that's going to be a loophole for them.
They screwed up. Yeah, they screwed up.
That's it.
They didn't test the shut air advantage. They should have, and they didn't. And they're trying to gloss over that. And also, I think they don't want Antonio Brown to win, right? They want to be right. They want to be vindicated. They want to run things the way they want. And when a player stands up and says, they don't want to do it your way, the NFL is going to fight tooth and nail to be able to do things the way the NFL wants to do them.
But he's good for football, man. I mean, that guy.
Oh, he's great for football. It's exciting.
I mean, we need him playing, even though we've seen a little bit of a diva, a lot of a diva side of him. But, boy, I'll tell you what, the NFL, just for as big as it is and all the people they hire for different parts of this huge, huge company, it's embarrassing sometimes. It goes right back to Roger Goodell, who I just blast nonstop, Mike, is just. Does he not understand all these things we talk about half of them every week? He looks like an idiot.
Well, and here's the thing, and somebody who's very influential and understands how everything is fit together told me a few years ago that Roger Goodell is a perfectly fine commissioner. The problem is the people around him. And it may be, and I don't want to psychoanalyze too much, but sometimes when you don't have great people around you, then you don't have threats around you to your job. And it could be that, you know, there's a little protect the throne, a little ego-driven here, uh-huh. And you don't have a bunch of ass-kickers who would get everything buttoned up and get it done because, hey, if those folks are too good, somebody's eventually going to say, well, why is not that guy the commissioner?
Interesting stuff there. Mike, as always,
thanks, Mike.
Happy Football Friday.
Appreciate
we'll speak
it, man.
To you next week.
See you guys.
All right, that was Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
I knew he was I knew before, man, when everybody was getting on AB, he's like, hey, they friggin' change their rules all the time. He's going to fight it. And
he'll find a loophole. He's right.
He's got a chance to win. I don't know if he's got a chance to win or not with the NFL.
Well, the last thing you want is him not playing if you're the NFL. Last thing you want is something stupid.
Well, he's going to play. They got to believe, like we all do, like even if you don't get your helmet you want this time again, you're going to wear whatever we have. You ain't giving up all this money. You can say you have all the money you need,
right,
but you might as well make 3 more years or at least 2 of the 3 where a lot
million.
Of it and get as much as you can, those guaranteed dollars.
Drew,
and then you can go back to South Florida and live happily ever
right.
after, right?
Drew earns every penny, man, with that guy.
Boy, you ain't kidding.
Every penny.
By the way, before I forget, so I got to tell you this story while we got a second here.
Yep.
So last night, we were talking about food, right, and all
of course.
These places,
yeah.
and it got going, and the sandwich came, Popeye's thing, and they were all laughing.
Of course.
And some guys had stopped and got over the last couple of days.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to
Well, there's good news because it is Friday and Saturday's game night. Canes and Gators, so we're that close. No more countdown from 40 days or 30 days or 20 or 10.
I can't believe it's
here. We are on an hour countdown now. It's coming up tomorrow night. This College Football Report brought to you by FIU Panthers Football. Panther Pride is here. Get your season tickets now at 305 FIU game or visit tickets.fiusports.com. 7 p.m. tomorrow night is kickoff. You can hear the pregame here, I believe, starting at 3 o'clock. And,
I hope we have a good game.
So do I.
I don't want to see what happened to both these teams in their bowl games last year, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, where it was two snoozers. Snooze good.
No,
for,
Gators pounded Michigan and Wisconsin pounded Miami. We don't want that.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be in anyone's favor there. We'll jump out to the text line as well, the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22-560-22. This month, all new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models.
What'd you get on the Twitter so far?
I am trying to
at Joe
find
Rocha
it
with
here.
Fitzpatrick
so
and Rosen.
It's so far down the timeline now. Do you guys have – there it is. Okay. We did do a poll at Joe Rose Show on Twitter. The question was, after watching three preseason games, who should be the Dolphins' starting quarterback in week one? A lot of votes, a couple hundred votes on there. What do you think the answer is right now? And then I'll give
90%
you
Rosen.
Very close. 88% Josh Rosen, 12% Ryan Fitzpatrick. A couple of the comments underneath – Fitz did nothing to secure the job. Rosen did everything to try to claim it.
Okay.
That's a pretty
fair.
Good.
That's fair.
Now, these are the replies that OJ would get, and they're a little bit different. Ours are a little bit nicer than in any of the OJ. Someone said, add an option to the list. Quote, I haven't watched any preseason games. Well, sir, you know, it's.
Well, that's all right.
Football.
I understand that, too.
No sense starting a guy that is no part of the future. We are rebuilding. Got to go with Rosen. So there you go.
What? I'm with that one, too.
And you're probably in this one, too. Don't need to watch the games. You traded for this guy. It's his second year in the league. Finns aren't competing for anything this year. Why not give the young guy a chance to develop?
Let him
go out and throw it. We already know what Fitz has. Yeah.
Let him go out and throw it.
And another vote is for Dan Marino. So there you go. Dan Marino still to be
he can't throw it. He can't throw it like he used to. He's finally slowed down. That arm's not working like it used to.
Last night sealed it for me from Dolphin Mike. 99-yard drive did it. Start Rosen.
Okay.
Don't like Rosen, but he's got to start. Another comment that's on there as well.
Mike Florio talked about something that's a good point, and it was brought up last night at NFL's radio, talking to those guys that it's going the way it is right now. They're going to be going after a quarterback. A lot of people think they've already made up their mind. They've seen it and said, we're going after – Dolphins will go after a quarterback. One of those three guys next year they'll grab, whichever – flavor they like the best.
We'll know more when we get closer.
Everything
to the draft,
from 6 feet tall to 6'6".
That's right. Whatever you like, it's going to be right there sitting in front of you. All right, text. We'll go to the text machine right now. 560-22 if you want to join us here. Let's see. Rosen, 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 Rosen. Why in the world do you start Fitz at this point? Joe, I know Rosen might be the future, but I prefer Fitzpatrick becomes a lamb to the slaughter, especially in the first four games.
The coach said one thing a couple weeks ago. He said, listen, man, there's a lot of stuff that people don't see of why I like Fitzpatrick better than Rosen. I know you guys are just watching the throws. There's a lot of other stuff, setting things up, doing the right things, in and out of the huddle, little things that you guys don't really pay attention to. So, and I do understand that the coaches are looking at some different things and we're just looking. I'm looking purely like you are at good throws and been able to get first downs and when to run and do all those things.
How about this one, Joe? Joe, can we please trade Stills for some offensive line help? Or how about this one? Ooh, trade him to Dallas along with a 2 and a 5 for Zeke.
Yeah, it's a bad, bad idea.
Wow. That is interesting.
I'm for offensive line, but I got no problem with our backs when Kenyon comes back. I like our 1-2 punch.
Me too.
I like it a lot.
I like those guys there.
Kalen Ballage and Kenyon, that's a nice combination.
Someone texted in, boys, that chicken sandwich was so good, I started to cry when I finished it. I just wanted more. The flavor was incredible.
Come on.
He started to cry.
Jeez.
I got to have it. I got to have it.
Wait. The only thing is, man, I am not waiting in line.
If there's
a line, I'm
maximum
gone.
Maximum amount of time when you're standing or in drive-thru.
I'm just looking, and if it goes, if I get a hell no, your instincts tell you, like, I ain't waiting in a fast food restaurant that long. I'm not. Because there ain't nothing fast food about watching that damn line at Popeyes.
No, it's not. That's longer than I wait in a restaurant. So players can't stay healthy, playing minimum amount of time in preseason. So the answer is to add more regular season games. Genius.
Listen, man, I don't know what the answer is, but I will tell you, preseason around the league, look at last night, Jacksonville, they need to have their quarterback ready to go. He played his first snaps last night. He didn't play that many. He was out, and that's it. That's all he's going to play. And that was going on everywhere.
Mm. Yep, and listen, it's going to happen. Guys are going to get hurt no matter what. It's going to happen once in a while.
Yeah, everybody's now saying those practices together, we get more out of that than all these preseason games. The league's got to be watching and sitting back going, wow, look at how many games. The third preseason game, traditionally the game that all the starters are supposed to play. Look what everybody did last night. Less and less guys played. They're like, nope. Guy's making too much money. He's too important. He's only playing when the season starts. Just stay in shape. We'll get a lot of work for you in practice, and that's all you're getting.
A lot of people happy with that Dan Morgan interview from earlier. I'll read you a couple of these. Horn Dog Texan, Dan Morgan is real down-to-earth dude. I sat next to him at a Charlotte Hornets game years ago, and we talked Dillard High School football, Taravella football, and UM football the entire game. I know his wife was bleeping sick of me by the end of it. Dan's probably sitting there with his wife and horn dogs all over him.
If somebody tries to talk to you all night and you got your wife with you, yeah, and you're trying to talk sports, there's a really good chance – I know if it's my wife, like, really, she'll suck it up and then go, oh,
drive home's
my
the worst.
God.
Right,
yeah.
Drive home's the worst on that one.
You couldn't stop it.
Pat from Philly said Dan Morgan is the Canes' Rudy and a way better story.
I don't know if he was a Rudy. He's a really athletic guy.
I mean, this guy wasn't like nothing in high school. He was amazing.
He was freakish, fast, running. Yeah, he... I don't know. I don't know about that. I didn't look at him as a Rudy.
No, he was a Rudy. Stop it. Dan Morgan against FSU. Saw that dude throw up on the field before the play, then proceed to chase down the player and make the tackle. He was awesome. I believe it.
Sounds
like Morgan.
It was funny. He said, Joe, that was a rough day. I remember the interception in Sugar Bowl. Florida State that hot day, and he was gassed. I mean, he was sucking gas. And so it's funny to hear those stories all the time.
This will piss off a bunch of UM people. I'm quite sure Florida would prefer not to play Miami on a yearly basis based simply on because Miami's not a worthy program any longer. They are true year in, year out powerhouse.
Yeah. Is that from a Gator fan?
I can only imagine.
The Gators have just been so powerful.
Right.
But, hey, you won 10 last year, man, and you got your right coach, so I guess you can act like that, but he apparently forgot the other years.
Yep. And someone
a little
said
down.
Right. It was a couple years
in
back.
In Florida.
5-7, 4-7. I don't remember that year. Hey, Joe, Dan Morgan could tell the Bills he's just going to scout the game. Canes and Gators, a lot of good players there. Sit in the box. Have a good time.
He goes, you know, I can do my own schedule now. Right. So this one's going to be – I'm going to be looking at that talent, but, hell, I'm going to be seeing my guys.
Yeah, he could get away with what he wants now as a scout. He doesn't have to worry about that. Let's see what else we got. Jay-Z, all freaking day. Don't worry about what Coach Flores had to say or something along the lines of it's okay what Flores did. He could play Jay-Z all freaking day long.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. Whatever, it's over. I mean, last night he closed it up pretty good. Everybody's under a microscope for everything now. Everybody. So I thought last night, he goes, you don't like what I had to say or the way I handled it. You can get on me all you want.
My whole viewpoint on this quarterback competition was if it's close, you go with Rosen. So hopefully Rosen's a starter week one now because it's closer. Okay. Joe needs to start every Dolphin segment with the phrase, hey, Dolphin World.
Hey, Dolphin World.
Like instead of OJ with, hey, Twitter World.
Hey, fantasy football. We're going to be talking about fantasy football. You know, I've been watching these tight ends.
You're doing a good job. Keep going. Rafa in Miami, of course, has to break down the entire text machine and give you a tennis text. You ready for this one?
No, don't do it. It's got to be, he knows I'm
US
a Federer
Open
fan.
Is starting up. Djokovic is two grand slams from Nadal. Nadal is two slams from Federer. What a great era in tennis.
Wow. I'm still hurting from Federer. 40-15 to win it at Wimbledon. 40-15 for the set, serving.
Someone said, I went yesterday to Popeyes in Northern Virginia. Place was packed, and they had a handwritten sign on the door saying
that stuff's going on
everywhere. Out of sandwiches.
Well, you know what? Let's get the hell out of here so we can get going on those chicken sandwiches today. Plus, I get some damn sleep. Anyway, hey,
By the way, before we get out of here, just a reminder, Saturday night, if you are not having a party or doing anything and you want to come out and hang out with us at Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines, we're going to have a cool party out there for the game, watch party out there. We'll have Dos Equis specials all night long. It's going to be a fun place to watch the game. You're going to be able to register to win semifinal tickets, college football semifinal tickets this season long as well. We're giving away a 60-gallon Igloo cooler. It's going to be a really fun time out there in Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines. Come out there and join us for a little while. If you're not going up to Orlando for the game, come.
Well, everybody can't go. Can't, and not everybody can have it. They could have sold 200,000 tickets for that game, but we are out of here. Lebatard and Stu Gotts coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.